from a dog-eared comic book into your rabbit-eared radios comes a gray-eared hero only his creator and several thousand fans could love. Faster than a Panrovian card shark, more powerful than apricot brandy, able to leap tall barbarians with the help of a ladder. Is it a pig? Is it a frog? Is it an armadillo? No, it's Cerebus, the aardvark. After leaving Syria, Cerebus drifts west into the Red Marches, where he enters the employ of Turin Gen, a mercenary captain. The summer rains are at their peak, and the Earth Pig executes his tasks amid much grumbling about subtropical rainfall.
Blood. 3 weeks of non-stop rain. Damn these border patrols. I better find shelter before too long. It doesn't look like Cerebus will make it to the outpost tonight.
Then, through the rain-sodden air, the Earth Pig catches a glimpse of the hollow stump of a dead tree.
Terum. Not very large, but it is the first drive spot that Cerebus has seen in the last 20 miles.
Grimly, Cerebus squeezes into the tiny hollow. Almost instantly, the enclosure fills with the odor of wet aardvark fur. The smell doesn't serve to brighten the Earth Pig's disposition, nor does it help him to notice that he's being observed.
Some manner of creature, quietly, Barth Quanon.
You worry like an old woman, Cromart Mux Milk. The creature is asleep.
The scantily clad, well-muscled barbarian slips up to the hollow's entrance and draws his dagger.
One cut and...
Oh!
The attacker is frozen in stunned surprise.
Impossible.
As the aardvark emerges from the tree, he is greeted with even more amazement.
Ishtar, take us all.
No one will believe us. Come
on. He was technically to Bran McMuffin.
Although the Earth Pig is well used to the reactions of men to his appearance, there's something disturbing in the savage's astonishment.
Cerebus goes with no one until they explain their interest in him.
You must come with us. You're the...
You're obviously in need of a warm shelter.
The Earth Pig agrees to take advantage of their hospitality, resolving, however, to keep an eye on his too eager hosts, especially on those who stand behind him.
The camp is about a half an hour from here. We should be there by sunset.
As Cerebus sets off with his escort, he says nothing, but continues to assess them. With the exception of the simple knife, they are weaponless. Perhaps they are simple farmers or nomads, as their speech suggests. Abruptly, the leader changes direction, heading for a patch of taller grass.
A pity we can't always travel without our weapons, but the marshes grow dangerous as the night approaches, and a good sword can spell the difference between life and death.
The tribesmen pick out of the tall grass long swords that they had hid there, and each strapped one on. The weapons are handmade, and even with a glance, the Earth Pig appraises them as formidable and deadly.
Have you noticed that smell, Cromag?
Aye. The plains dwellers must be burning their ceremonial skunks again.
Nay, the smell is richer than that. The smell of a thousand dungworms mating in the noon sun.
We should try and find the source of the odor. It may be sorcery or a new plague.
Damned insects! Makes Cerebus long for winters in the north.
Unwittingly, and to his instant regret, one of the men passes within range of the Earth Pig's sweeping slap at the offending bug.
Ashtoff, preserve me. If you'll forgive us, friend, your fur seems to... That is, the smell is...
Cerebus understands. I can barely stand to smell myself. Perhaps a little distance will help. How's this?
Excellent. The stinging in my nostrils is barely noticeable.
Who is this Bran McMuffin?
Bran McMuffin is the finest leader of men on the face of the earth. He is a tactician without peer, an artist when it comes to defending or attacking. Also, he's the penultimate swordsman. He's been known to emasculate flies in midair. A slayer of kings, and the king of kings himself. He can repair a broken limb with but a glance. He can make the blind-sighted, the weak, strong.
All hail Bran McMuffin!
He also makes the finest boreal and coleslaw west of the Sofim.
At last, the travelers reach an odd tree stump, whose top opens to reveal a vertical shaft leading deep underground.
We live under the earth. The tunnels are ancient, though this section is more recent. Most of the tunnels wind for miles with numerous exits like this one.
We are a private people, and find the privacy comforting. We'll take you to Bran McMuffin directly.
Aye. He'll be anxious to see you.
Strangely enough, I find this demigod's concern for Cerebus something less than touching.
We have returned, Freck McMurray, and wish to see Bran McMuffin.
Hello, McMuffin, and Paris.
Smells like someone's loincloth is on fire.
After winding their way through several twisty little passages, all alike, they finally come into the presence of the Exalted One himself.
By your leave, O Star of the East.
Not now, idiot. I'm up to my knees in rainwater. The food supplies are dangerously low, and from the smell of things, I would guess the cesspool is draining into the air vents again.
But, most revered leader, I have brought you a guest.
Guest? First you interrupt my reverie, and now you tell me you brought a... Ashtoth Visage. That Bran McMuffin should have lived to see after all these years. Where did you find him? Where? Never mind. Just leave us alone to talk.
Of course, your wonderfulness.
Right, beat it. Well, my friend, you are no doubt curious about this setup. A drink first, and then I'll answer all your questions. It's fermented goat's blood. It takes a while to get used to the aftertaste.
Cerebus would sooner get used to rat poison. Though you speak a fluent Kniptan dialect, I don't recognize your...
We are the Picts, an ancient and feared race. We are avengers of the meek, the recalcitrant, the scared, the dubious, and the oppressed. We exist only to topple the Empire.
Which Empire?
Any Empire. You name it, and we've toppled it. The Redeemer Dynasty. The Eastern Monolith, the Black Tower Empire. Right now, we're working on a tight schedule on toppling the Dersian Monarchy, but I hope to get to the Barialans within a decade.
You must have organized a truly formidable fighting force. How many men do you have under your command?
I command an elite group of 50 armed warriors. A lot of them are armed with swords, too.
The phrase, paranoid schizophrenic with delusions of grandeur, is not in the Aardvark's vocabulary. So in his mind, he substitutes crazy as a Panrovian monk.
Now I have a question for you. What are you?
Cerebus realizes that Bran McMuffin has more than a casual interest in the answer. For what reason, he's unable to guess.
I am Cerebus, an earth pig born.
How old are you?
Guess.
You're 26, aren't you?
Though Cerebus says nothing, his expression shows clearly that he is disturbed by the Pict leader's answer.
You look tired. Come with me, and I'll show you your bed. We can talk again tomorrow.
Though the bed is softer than any he has seen in countless months, Cerebus is unable to sleep.
Cerebus is not pleased with his little chat with...
The average person would have dismissed the sound as a bump in the night. However, when your life has often hinged on a random sound, you learn to assess each sound with your instincts and intuition. And the Earth Pig's intuition leads him out into the stone corridor, sword at ready.
Terrible. A procession. Men carrying torches seem to be heading somewhere.
The Aardvark's curiosity is aroused, and he follows the torchbearers down more stone corridors, down steep stairways, until they reach a huge hall, filled with more of their kind. Cerebus heads for a balcony overlooking the hall, passing an unlucky sentry.
Sounds like someone brought a dead goat with them.
The chanting is louder now, and the ancient and crumbling theater seems to hum with unseen energy. On a platform before the assembled crowd stands...
Bran McMuffin. Why would you call a meeting at this hour of night?
The time we have awaited is at hand. Our Redeemer walks among us. In his 26th year, he shall come to us. For 1,000 years, the pigs have been without their god king. Now he has been restored. Now empires will be trampled beneath our feet. Now we need no longer content ourselves with an idol in his image. All hail!
All hail! All hail! All hail!
Terrell. The astonished Cerebus turned his head and saw, at the far end of the great hall, a crude statue of an aardvark. It was perhaps 15 feet tall and made of some kind of soft gray stone. Bran MacMuffin's interest in Cerebus was now easily understood. The resemblance was astounding.
Some prediction has been fulfilled by Cerebus's arrival. Bran MacMuffin sees me as some reincarnation of a god king from a distant past.
And the pigs of many lands will follow, and devastation will be the lot of the unbelievers. Follow him, O sons of the pig, for vengeance shall be yours.
Cerebus is unable to tear his eyes from the idol, the implications of what he is seeing reeling in his mind.
Am I the Redeemer? No, Cerebus is not. Eh? They're beginning to leave the hall now. Evidently, their meeting is at an end.
In a few moments, the cavernous room is empty, hysterical shouting and laughter vanishing along the ancient corridors. Before long, the glow of their torches is all that remains. A few moments later, not even that remains. Cerebus descends the now darkened stairway and approaches the statue. The stone is even softer than it had appeared from a distance. Clay, perhaps?
A god of clay. There is no fathoming the human mind. No way to understand how these creatures think.
As Cerebus stands before the idol, it seems diminished at close quarters. Like a mere decoration, perhaps. But a god?
Terum, Ashtoth, these are gods. They bring war and pain. They kill without reason or apology. I have seen armies driven by religious zeal. With 24 of those handcrafted weapons, we could lay waste to the primitive lands east of Feld. There would be more to loot than a king could imagine. Cerebus needs only to acknowledge a kinship to the pig god. It would be gold and gems by the ton. Mayhap there is a kinship. Mayhap Cerebus is just one of the picked race. Mayhap he is only one of... No!
For 1,000 years, the pig statue has been tended, each leader forbidding even the most casual touch. For one reason, the idol is composed of the flimsiest material, stuff that is no match for the enraged punches of an earth pig born.
Cerebus will not be a pig. He will not acknowledge kinship with the soft gray travesty before him. Cerebus is unique. I'm an earth pig born, not a redeemer of a mad race that worships clay deities. I am Cerebus the Arbor, Cerebus the earth pig, Cerebus the victor.
Cerebus lifts himself from the rubble. There is no sound from the corridor beyond. His absence will be noticed in a very few minutes. He hurries toward a far exit. He's seen enough of religious fanaticism to know that the Picts will not be understanding about the destruction of a centuries-old god king. As he was told, exits proliferate in the underground chambers, and Cerebus finally emerges on the surface to see that the rains have stopped. He faces east into the dawn. Yest is a day's march away, and the earth pig feels once more drawn to the bustle and clamor of the city. The Aardvark is adapted with permission from the comic books of the same name, written and drawn by Dave Sim, published and copyrighted by Aardvark Vanaheim Press. Radio adaptation was written by Kara Dahlke. Production and engineering by Chris Dronan. Players for this episode were narrator Rob Hunter, Cerebus, Curtis Hoffman, Cro-Mag Max Miller, Herman Shouten, Arthur Kwanon, Michael Butler, Third Pig, David Cummer, Bran Mac Muffin, Jan Applebaum. Tune in again next time when Cerebus faces danger, romance, and a long script. When he is told the secret.